Good morning, everyone. Let's worship the Lord and let's go to Him in prayer right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Lord Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for bringing us all here safely. Thank you for those that are still traveling, that they're en route. Lord Jesus, I pray for them. Lord God, we do pray that you would inhabit the praises of the people today. Lord, we pray for those that are not here. We pray for the extended church across the United States and across the world as they're worshiping you, different time zones, different languages, different cultures, Lord God. We thank you that together we're all worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you and we praise you. Amen.
Amen.
Father, as we're singing this morning, Lord, help us to be in that spirit of just worship and prayer. That you speak to their spirit, Lord. We pray for those that are in bondage, Father, and that need your freedom, Lord God. And we are going to have just complete trust in you, Lord, that you are going to break those chains, Father. Remind us, Lord, of how you have freed us, Lord, from visible or invisible prisons, Lord. Right now, we just lift up our family members to you, Lord, a friends, family, anyone that we know, Lord, need to have freedom. Lord, just lift up right now, Lord God, just my sister, Lord, who's crying out to me all weekend, and she just needs freedom, Lord. Have us just in this morning, during this morning, Father, just be in such oneness and have such a spirit of just praying. Help us not to focus on petty things. Give us the words to pray for. Help us just to cry out, Lord. Things that are on our hearts, Lord. Let your spirit lead us, Father, not our flesh, but your spirit. Come and put this fire out. that we just dig into your word and we cry out to you and we pray to you and we sing to you, Father, that just like stoking the flame, Lord God, we're going to make it stronger, Father. Help us not to have fear or anger or anything that the enemy can use to separate us, Father, and that when we do have those things, that we just cry out to you. And that when we cry out to you, Father, we know that you're there to comfort us and you're there to love us, Lord, and that can give us the joy, Father. Help us to worship you, Father, in everything that we do.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations in every lofty thing, raising up anything against the knowledge of God, that we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Give us perspective, Father. I know that when a lot of times I have my eyes on myself and what I'm going through, Father, there's always someone that has it worse, Lord. And I thank you that you can comfort me, Father, and I pray, Father, that you help me sometimes to get my eyes off of me and help to comfort others, Lord. And help teach them, Lord God, how to keep their eyes on you, Father, for comfort and for love and for answers. Help us to know, Lord God, that anything that we're going through, Father, it's not small or little, Lord, but that we can just have comfort right away that you're going to meet us there, Lord. Whether it be a job, Father, whether it be a family member, whether it be a house where we're going to live, Father, help us to keep all of our trust in you. Their hope a little bit in this world, Lord God, I pray, Father, that the world just seems a little bit crazy right now, Father. Just kind of the way we're going, Lord, and your politics and this and that, Lord. I pray, Father, that no matter what happens, Lord, that if we just keep our eyes focused on you, Father, if we keep our eyes on the truth and we keep our feet on that straight path, Father, everything else is going to grow dim and it's not even going to matter, Lord. We pray that we look to you and we focus on what you want us to do, Lord God, and not what the world wants us to do, Lord. Pray, Father, that we allow your Spirit to take over us, Lord God, so we can have your boldness and your fullness, Lord. I pray, Father, that as we are praying for others this morning, that your Spirit just lead us, Lord God. We welcome your Spirit, Lord. We pray, Father, that it just consumes us, Lord. I pray that every single person in this room right now, Lord, I pray that we can, even right now, just come and just lay down any attitude that we've had during the day, Lord. If there's a sin that we have hidden right now, Father, I pray, Lord, that it can come to light and we can ask you to forgive us, Lord God, so we can have a pure heart right now, Father, as we are praying for others, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, that you just cleanse us, Lord, and help us to have that purification, that holy purification, Lord, that we can just feel at peace with when we're praying for others, Lord. I pray right now if we have any offense with anyone, Lord, that we lay that down in our heart, Lord. If there's anyone here that we might have an offense with, Lord, that we pray up and go deal with that quickly, Lord, so that we can have that fullness of knowing that we can just pray right now with a pure heart, Lord. Father, I don't want to be a stumbling block to anyone, Lord. I don't want my prayers just to be words and not mean anything, Father. Father, I want to be in communication with you, Lord, so I pray right now that you forgive me, Lord, for the attitude that I've had this week, Father, and anger and just even, Lord, even things that I can't think of, Father, I pray that you forgive me, Lord. Help me have a pure heart at this moment, Lord, while I'm praying for those being persecuted, Father. Lead this body, Lord.
Did everybody get one of these? Yeah. Okay, good. We'll talk about it a little bit later, but there's a little map inside too, you know, just for a little prayer map for you that shows you some of the areas especially to pray for. Voice of the Martyrs is one of the groups that supports the persecuted church around the world. It's an international day for the persecuted church this week and next week, and so Open Doors is another very good group that helps and with the persecuted church. If you didn't get one of these, raise your hand and somebody will drop one off to you. Okay, yeah, good. I'll make sure you've got that. Okay. We're going to offer a time later on to pray out loud at the end of the service for the persecuted church, and so we'll give you that time in a minute. And so I don't forget, okay, Tuesday, if you haven't voted already, earlier voting, make sure Tuesday that you do vote. We have a responsibility to do that. I am not going to tell you which way to vote. I would just seek and find out which candidate. What we have, let me say that? No. Okay. Well, we have two flawed candidates. Okay, very flawed candidates. So you simply need to decide, look at the issues, the moral issues as a Christian, and see which candidate more goes along in line with your Christian values. And so I would encourage you to do so. This is a court election, and Supreme Court justices will be elected for life, and that's going to really kind of govern the path that we take. So I just would encourage you to do that. Please make sure you research well and vote. Okay, on a little bit happier note, that's all I'm saying. 108 years. Okay, a little bit happier note here. 108 years. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I said there is no Billy Goat curse, whatever that was.
Yes.
Worn off. 26 more to my Yankees.
Yeah. You know what? I'm just thinking, as a Chicago boy, that's a pretty big thing.
Yeah, it is.
Even I talked to somebody in Chicago, you know, when they were down, you know, they had one win and three losses, and it looked like they were out. And they're just like, I said, hey, what's the attitude of the... He's like, you know, he's like, honestly, we just expect loss.
Yeah.
So we're trying not to, but, you know, after 108 years of it, you get used to it. Okay. So this is really a big thing, yes. That's right. That's right. This is a big deal.
10 innings, 8 runs.
What was it?
10 innings, 8 runs.
That's right.
108.
Wendy Jo, I think Mary Kate wanted them to play Go Cubs Go before the worship song, but we wouldn't let her. Also, there is free Panera bread back there. There's some bagels and loaves back there again. Not as many today as normal, but you're welcome to take them free in Jesus' name. Also, just a reminder, you're invited to the wedding of Josh and April. It's going to be here, November 26th, at Home Fellowship Church. Yeah. How exciting is that? And I just love it that they want to honor the Lord. Linda's very excited. Hallelujah. You know, even to the point of they didn't have transportation, so we met at GT Bray. This is no kidding. This last week, and it's dark. We're in this. It's completely dark, and we've got a little. I don't know if it was Pinky or Josh's cell phone, talking about for an hour or two about the Lord and how to honor the Lord in our marriage. Reading our little books by the light in pitch black, just because they want to honor the Lord. And so I think that's an exciting thing. So pray for them if you would, because I'm sure the enemy wants to beat the snot out of them, especially because they want to honor the Lord with it. And so just pray for them and know that you're invited. Also, Neely, I don't know if she's here yet. Neely, you wonderful godly gal, you did an amazing job on the website, and you and George making it now mobile friendly. And so now you should be able to, Josh brought that up, so thank you. Now that I think that is fixed, and so now you can check that out. It's much more easier to download audios and listen to that. And so that's very exciting at Home Fellowship here, check out. Okay. You guys know we have a lot of library in the back, all that kind of stuff. You know about prayer meetings here Sunday mornings. We'd love for you to pray for this church and the community. You know we got the Thursday night family barbecue and Bible study. Last week we did Kings, and we got through, it was an amazing time. We only got through 3 verses. But that was really good, you know. Sometimes it just goes, you know, long. Sometimes it's so rich, I just never know. But it was super rich, and so thank you for that. The Kingdom Living Group Forum is this week, is that correct? I saw somebody, Diane, Sue, anybody? Said hello. Okay, fantastic. And also, guys, if you would just continue to pray for Shepherd's Heart Christian School, you know, God is doing such an amazing work there. This is no kidding. We even took down the sign, and folks are wanting, have already tried to sign up for next year. We're already full, and other families are coming in. We could take in multiple families right now into the school that want to come here, but we can't because we don't have enough facilities. And so just pray that God would make a way. God is doing an obvious work here at the school, and it's really cool. And so just pray for them, and thank God. Just pray for the teachers and the students. It's really an awesome thing. Okay, so you guys know normally we go through teaching through the Word, verse by verse. We're going through the book of Romans, up in chapter 9. But we took a slight detour. There was a lot of good doctrine in there, but I just needed some practical stuff. And maybe it was just for me, and so I'd get a little bit of a break in there. Paul's writing sometimes are complex. And so I wanted to go through the Beatitudes. So we've been going through Matthew chapter 5. 1 through 12. Oh, sorry, that's right. Yeah. Matthew chapter 5, 1 through 12. So if you would open your Bibles to that, and Chris and Elijah, if you grab some Bibles, if anybody needs a Bible, raise your hand, and we'll deliver one right to you. Anthony.
I just want to take a second, if I could. We haven't had youth group, okay, in a while. And I know we turn that to our Thursday night.
Yes.
Okay, we don't still get... We got... sorry,
please.
We have a lot of the youth here today, a lot of the teenagers and kids today. I just want to put out there, look, I know... I don't have it all together, but I want to remind our kids and our teenagers that I'm here if anybody needs to talk, you know, whether on Facebook, after church, before church, you know, that they're not forgotten.
That's awesome.
On the third, you can spend that one-on-one time with them.
Yeah.
You know, if anyone needs to talk, we're here.
And amen. Amen. And I'm not on Facebook, so you'll never be able to reach me there.
What was
my wife forbid me. Yeah, she forgot.
I'm on Facebook.
No. I'm on Facebook. I just made that one up. That was pretty good. Come on. Just saying. Okay. All right, so we've been going through the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, 1 to 12. So let's, I think we left off. Let me get through. Give me just a second. We talked about blessed, what blessed means as we're going through the Beatitudes. And it means the best definition we came up with was a recipient of God's divine favor. That's what means blessed. We also found out, if I go back one, that Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he was there with the multitudes, that he went up on a mountainside. He left the multitudes, and he went up on the mountainside, and his disciples came to him, those who really wanted to seek the Lord and wanted to know the Lord, and he began to teach them. And so this is for those who have chosen to follow the Lord. We talked about being blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Having that knowledge that, man, it all starts from there. Understanding that without God, we have nothing. We are spiritually bankrupt. Don't let me forget to talk to you after church. Okay, thank you. Sorry to call you out in the middle of church, but not in trouble. We are so busted. And so it all kind of starts from there. Keeping that poor in spirit attitude. It stops us from being arrogant. You know, and self-righteous and proud, realizing we've got nothing without Jesus. That's where it all starts from. And so we talked about that. We talked about, just a second, we talked a lot about that. We talked about those, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And as we realize that we are poor in spirit, we've got nothing, but we are so far apart from God, you know, we start to, we mourn, we weep over our sin, our own sin, and the sin of others. And so a true Christian is going to be just like Jesus, you know. Sometimes a man of sorrows. A Christian life is not all prancing through the posies. It's grief. If you love the Lord and you love others, your heart hurts. When you sin, your sin doesn't affect just you. You hurt my heart. You hurt her heart. I hurt her heart. You get the idea? We're a body, you know, and so... it's a difficult, but it's also, you know, Jesus wept over Jerusalem, you know, and streams of tears flowed from his eyes because your law is not obeyed, David said. But he collects all of our tears in a bottle. He knows every tear that falls, and that's our God. And at the end, you know, he's going to wipe every tear from our eye, and that's our God. But for those who don't know him, it's just the beginning of weeping, because they're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Won't find that at the secret sensitive churches. We talked about being blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And is meekness weakness?
No.
That's right. What is it? Strength under control. Power under control. That's exactly right. And we gave you some good illustrations with Chuck Norris that I thought were fantastic. Okay. And also with Jesus, who could have obliterated, called down legions of angels when they came for him. You guys know that. We left off with blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Listen, we're going to be hungering and thirsting after something, right, in your life. Sometimes it could be debate. There's nothing wrong with debate, is there? Unless that takes precedence over your hunger and thirst for the word, for the Lord, right? Natural oils or sports or your ministry or your job or your kids, right? None of that is wrong. But if it's out of whack, you're going to come up empty. You're going to come up hungering and thirsting. He says, blessed are those recipients of God's divine favor, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. God promises you will be filled. And we talked a lot about that. And what does hungering and thirst for righteousness look like? It looks like a person who longs to honor God with his or her actions and words and his life or her life. A person who longs for God's righteousness promoted in this world. If you're not longing for that, it could be that either you really don't know the Lord, because when you're poor in spirit, you start to mourn over, you realize you're bankrupt before him, and you start to mourn over your sin, and you realize, oh my gosh, I'm in a mess. You hunger and thirst for righteousness, for the Lord. And if you're not doing that, I check and examine yourself, see whether or not you're in the faith. Or, honestly, maybe you're filled up, you remember this illustration? On the BK doubles of the world, instead of on the good, healthy food. You're so full and fat with the junk that you're not even, you can't even, I gave you the illustration of my wife's pasta dinner. When I ate those BKs and dumb Whoppers and greasy fries, I had this amazing, my favorite meal in front of me. I couldn't even look at it. That's how we are if we're filling up with the junk of the world. Okay? And we left off with how the Lord tests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. All right? All right. So hit that light for just a second, Chris.
Yay.
All right. That's kind of where we left off. So one thing I want to go over, since we left off talking about that, before we get into the next one, you know, which is blessed are the merciful, you know, I want to just go over really quickly some of the effects of being filled with righteousness. You know, and I just love, though, how God used that term, hunger and thirst, because every day you get hungry, right?
Oh, yeah.
Every day you get thirsty, right? Well, God wants you to hunger and thirst for him in that way, or honoring him in that way. And that's what he wants you to be filled with. But the effects, you know, what are the effects and the results of it? Open your Bibles real quick. I'm going to go to something that's not on the PowerPoint. Go to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11.
Verse.
Yeah. Yes. Proverbs chapter 11, verse something. Let me look it up with you. I don't have this in my notes and stuff. We're on the PowerPoint, so I've got to get there in the sales. Proverbs 11. I just want you to see some of the effects or some of the fruit of righteousness. When you will fill up, if you will choose to stop eating the junk, stop drinking the junk of the world, God says, I'm going to fill you with good things. But there's going to be goodness that comes from that. And I want you to be blessed by it. I want you to be filled with that stuff. That's what God is saying. And so listen to this. I'm going to have, I'm just going to go down the row, this back row here, okay? And I'm just going to have in Proverbs, that means you. If you really don't want to read, don't panic. You can say pass, and it'll go to the next person, okay? All right, you want to bring the mic? All right. Sure, that's great. Thank you. We'll start here with the lovely talented Amy. Proverbs chapter 11, and I'm going to have you read verse. We're just going to talk about some of the benefits and the results of righteousness. How about, let's go check verse 4. Okay, Proverbs 11, verse 4.
Okay. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death.
Well, that seems pretty handy. Action Jackson, verse 5.
The righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness.
So the righteousness of the blameless makes a straight way for them. That's pretty awesome benefit, don't you think? Verse 6.
The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires.
Man, so the righteousness of the upright delivers them. Okay, good. Verse 8. No, 8! I know what I'm doing, believe it or not.
The righteous is delivered from trouble, and the wicked walks into it instead.
The righteous man is rescued from trouble. I love that. So, verse 10.
When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness.
Yeah. Good. Verse 12. Verse 12. I want you to jump down to verse 18.
The wicked man earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward.
Wow. Fantastic. How about 19?
He who is steadfast in righteousness will attain to life, and he who pursues evil will bring about his own death.
Wow, that sounds, especially the way you just read it there.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just like, bring about his own death. But that's exactly true. That's good. Verse 21.
Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the prosperity of the righteous will be delivered.
Yeah, or those who are righteous will go free. Verse 23.
The desire of the righteous ends only in good, but the hope of the wicked only in wrath.
It's like a rose.
The hope of the wicked is supposed to be a good thing.
Yeah.
Hope of what they want is the end of morale.
That's good. Did you hear that?
Nope.
Okay, can you say it nice and loud?
I said hope is a good thing. And so even the hope, or like they're saying they want something good, but they're doing something wicked, that's going to end in wrath.
Yeah, the hope of the wicked ends in wrath. Yeah, even that, even the hope is bad. All right, how about 28? Somebody else want to, you can go over, maybe to Rumsey and Natalie over there. Somebody wants to read verse 28.
He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage.
I love that. The righteous will thrive like a green leaf.
Like
Florida
weeds.
All right, Diane, how about verse 30? You guys getting the idea here?
The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise.
Isn't that awesome? This is the benefit of being filled, hungering and thirsting after God. If you're not hungering and thirsting after the Lord in that way, in his righteousness, something's wrong. And again, I'm not saying this in a judgmental, bad person way. I'm saying this as a loving friend, a pastor who cares about you. Something isn't right with you in the Lord. If it's me, when this happened to me, something's not right with me. I have to take an inventory. I confessed some stuff last week to you, last Sunday. So if you were here, you got to hear it. You know, so I just want to make sure if something is, it's not okay. It's not right. You're not right. Seek the Lord. Hunger and thirst for him. Okay? And then here's another one. I'm going to give you this last one. Here's some of the effects or the results of righteousness. Isaiah 32:17. It says, and the effect of righteousness will be what?
Peace.
And the result of righteousness is quietness and trust in the Lord. How long?
Forever.
That's pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome? I love that. Yes, Elijah, go ahead. Okay.
Because I wasn't here last time.
Okay, that's okay. I'll zip back for, we love you, so we're going to tell you. If you're wondering what righteousness is, hungering, thirsting after righteousness is being right before before God. So it's like you're longing to honor God with your words, with your actions, with your life. That's kind of righteousness. You're longing for God's, you're also longing for God's righteousness promoted in the world. In other words, I want to show Christ's righteousness to everybody. I want it in me, and I want it to honor him in the world.
What happens when it's forced upon us from you? What is that called?
Self-righteousness.
Yes.
Just saying.
Self-righteousness. And that's not a good thing. Jesus didn't say, hunger and thirst for self-righteousness. You see how it kind of builds? That's why you're poor in spirit. You realize you got nothing. Then you mourn over your sin. Then you're hungering and thirsting after the righteousness of God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's go next, if we can, to Matthew 5:7. Back to Matthew. I love this. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What does that mean? So what is mercy, guys? Well, I'm sorry, what is it?
Given forgiveness. Screen at them.
Okay. Being merciful. Okay. Well, somebody said something over here. I heard when they don't deserve it. Who said that? You're not in trouble.
Yeah. Not giving what you deserve.
Not giving what you deserve. Absolutely. Yes.
Show compassion for it.
Show compassion, kindness. Absolutely.
Sharing grace.
Sharing grace. Right. What does being merciful look like? What is it? Being gentle.
Being free from indebtedness.
Sure, that would be. What about, but it's not like in your everyday life, I'm going to free you from a death sentence. But yes, that is true. 100%. Well, what would it look like? What would being merciful look like? You know? Yeah, go ahead.
Sometimes giving room for people to make mistakes, like kids.
Yes.
And not getting so angry with them.
Yes. You know what? Can I tell you something, too? Look at Rumsey for a second. Look at me. Look at Joe. You know what? We're all big kids.
Yeah.
I'm not attacking anybody. I'm just saying we're all kids. We're just maybe a little bit bigger. You're a kid.
No, I'm not.
R2, R2.
I am. I'm an old lady.
All those things are, I think, are right on target, honestly. And you know, does God show that to us, mercy to us?
All the time.
All the time. Absolutely, He does. You know, mercy. Like, but mercy, in one sense, is simply not getting the judgment you deserve.
Right.
As God has been merciful towards us by not giving us the punishment we deserve, right?
Right.
I mean, that's pretty merciful. You know, here, I'm going to give you a few scriptures. I'll give you three. You know me, I can't help it. Okay, so God is merciful to us. In fact, Titus 3:5 says He saved us according to His mercy, right? That's who He is. Does the world appreciate your mercy?
No.
Generally, no, unless God's working in their heart. It again, the meekness will look like
weakness.
The mercy looks like weakness. But little do they know, it's the mercy that brings about amazing things. Do you see what I'm saying? Listen, in fact, the whole verse, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, covered 33 times. It says, Titus 3:5, He saved us, not because of the righteous things we've done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. Daniel 9:9 says this. This is God's character. He's so awesome. He says, the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we've rebelled against Him. Are we quick to crack the whip on somebody else?
Yeah.
Maybe that should change. Let's take our Heavenly Father's example. I think that goes back to self-righteousness. Lamentations, I love this. I love this song too. 3:22 and 23 says, the faithfulness of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. I love that song. They're new every morning. Great is our faithfulness. You don't have to stand condemned. His mercies are new every single morning. It's there with a fresh truckload for you if you'll receive it. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
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 Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Somebody saying something?
What's the verse?
That's Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. You remember that song?
They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Don't make me keep singing. Anyway, whatever. It's a song. You can look it up. And this is something, I love this verse too, you know, because being merciful is not getting what we deserve. It shows God's character. But being merciful in a broader sense is like some of the things that you guys said. It's showing compassion. It's showing kindness to people or help to others that can't really help yourself. It's showing that kindness and that compassion on a daily basis, and maybe even to people who don't deserve it. And the more a godly man or woman is, and I wrote this down in my notes too, the more a godly man or woman is truly hungering and thirsting for righteousness, God's righteousness, the truly more merciful they're going to be to others. That's the difference between God's righteousness and self-righteousness. And so a godly person is going to be merciful. The more sinful a man or a woman is, the more they're not going to show you no mercy. I'm going to show you my doctrine. I'm going to give you a backhand of fellowship. Right? Let me judge you. Listen, this is what the Lord requires of me or of you. All. That's right. You. The you means me, and the you means you. This is what the Lord requires of you. To act justly and to love what?
Mercy.
Mercy. And to walk humbly with your God. Yes, that is as well. And listen to this in Hosea 6:6. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings.
Amen.
What does that mean, Mark? I heard a big amen. What does that mean?
That means...
putting you on the spot here.
That's fine. We are not held to results. We are held to obedience. This is not a performance-based relationship. It's a dependence-based relationship. And
He wants to live through us, and He wants to show His mercy to others through us. And we are His arms and His legs, and He has no others right now from a physical standpoint than who we are. And that's what He wants to show through us. And He wants us to show it to others. Because, you know, it also says that whatever you sow, so shall ye reap.
Yes.
And I, you know what? I just don't want to reap that wrath.
Well, that, you know, it's funny you should mention that, because there's a parable, we won't turn there, but in Matthew 18:23-35, when they're asking Jesus, how many times have we got to forgive people? You know, seven times? You know, the rabbis thought if you had to forgive three times, that was plenty. Way more than enough. And Peter's like, seven times, Jesus? Because I'm, you know, such a great disciple. And Jesus is like, no, 70 times seven. And then He told the parable of the unmerciful servant. You remember the story? Jesus said, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts. And He says, as He began, and I love that He wanted to settle accounts. The king wanted to settle accounts with the servants. And as He began to settle accounts, a man who owed Him 10,000 talents. Okay, a talent of gold in the Old Testament was 75 pounds. Okay?
Wow.
So I'm trying to give you gold. Okay, I actually did this math last night at about midnight. Okay, so let's just say gold's going, I don't know where Rebecca is. Let's just say 1,500 a year with kids. Let's just say, well, too bad. I figured it at 50. All right, so let's say it's going for 1,500 an ounce. Okay, Natalie says it's about 13. Whatever, you get the point. So at 15, there's 16 ounces, right?
Yeah.
Okay, in a pound.
Yeah.
So that means that will come out to be 24,000. Okay, so 24,000, that's 1 pound, times 75, because that's one talent, is 1,800,000. Okay, now times 10,000 is $18 billion. Now, I've got a credit card bill. I'm embarrassed to say that I let it out of hand in the last couple of years. Okay, but I can tell you what. It's not $18 billion. There's no way I can pay back $18 billion. There's no way anybody can pay back. And so basically, since he was not able to pay, it says the master ordered that he and his children, his family, they have to be sold to repay the debt. And the servant fell on his knees before him and said, be patient with me, bank, and I'll pay back everything. Could he ever pay back everything?
No.
Never. $18 billion. You'd be lucky to spend $18 billion. Anyway, it says this then. It says the servant did that, and they said the servant's master took pity on him, just like he will with us. Not only did he give him time, he canceled the debt completely. $18 billion.
Out of the bank, $18 billion.
Well, I think the picture is us and how much we owe the Lord. That's the picture here.
That's a big one.
And so he says, then he goes on to say, but the servant went out after this, after he canceled the debt, and he found one of his fellow servants that owed him 100 denarii. A denarii is about a day's wage, so I don't know, figure 15 bucks an hour, that's about 12,000 bucks. And what he did was he choked him. And he said, pay back all you owe me, he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and did the same thing, begging him, patience with me and I'll pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Could the man ever pay the debt if he's in prison?
Yeah.
He'll never. He's stuck there. And so this was interesting to me. It says, and the other servants who saw this happen were greatly distressed after all that he'd been given, forgiven $18 billion. 12,000 is nothing. The master, and so they told the master, and then the master called the servant in and said, you wicked servant, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have shown mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? And then he said, and then of course he threw them into the jail to be tortured. And then he goes on to say, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive each other from the heart. If you've been shown so much mercy, likewise, so should we get to be merciful to others.
Hey, Darren, if you want to know the magnitude of the price that Jesus paid, you have to multiply that $18 billion times the 7 billion people that are on this earth.
And that's at this moment.
And that's at this moment. Yes. That doesn't include
that's
people.
I didn't think about that.
Forth,
I'll use
but
that.
The number is incalculable.
Yes.
You cannot multiply that out enough. On a calculator.
When I just think of my sin, Or maybe atoms? No. I'm just being, I can say that. I know, but if I just think of my sin alone, I mean, I think 18 billion is cutting it short. You know, some of you, maybe it's, I'm just telling you, I am so grateful for the Lord. That helps me to be merciful to others. Oh, and then by the way, in view of this, Romans 12 said, how should we live? It says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to the Lord. This is your true and proper worship. Bam. Yes?
We can calculate the sins and come up with an astronomical number, especially in my case. But I think that truly understand the mercy that we're given. We really got to understand what the consequence of just one sin is.
Right.
And I think that's where I know I have fallen short before in my life, and others do too, because they don't understand. They just think that the good outweighs the bad at the end of the day. You're at the end of eternity, and you're in good shape. And nothing could be further from the truth. One bad, one sin deserves eternal damnation.
Yeah.
We can't pay
so it. It's not about how many sins, but it's about how forgiven we are and what the consequence is. I mean, that's the way God set it up. That's the way, that's the real way of the way that it is. And it's easy to get clouded from that.
Amen. Good word. Okay, Matthew 5:8 is the next one, and that kind of speaks to the heart. I wasn't even sure which one to. This is Matthew 5:8. It's one of my favorite. I don't know if I'm allowed to have a favorite beatitude, but this is probably my favorite. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Matthew 5:8. And I couldn't decide whether I wanted this one, because as we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, as we're all these things, God, purity is going to come into our heart, and God wants our hearts to be pure, for they will see God. Okay, and I wasn't sure if I would use this one or this one, because it also, as you're asking God to purify your heart, as you see God, you'll also be able to see God in the world. You'll start looking at people differently, as people who need to be rescued. And I kind of like this one, too, because of all the hearts. When you look out at people in the city, you know, do you see, is your heart breaking for them? Like, do you care about them? Do you care, oh, God's trying to reach them, you know? Here, hit that light for just a second. Thanks. My old eyes just aren't what they used to be. You know, and this is my favorite verse, you know, and I got to say, you know, that word pure in Greek is katharos, and that means clean. That means pure. That means blameless. That means free from guilt. And heart could refer to the physical or spiritual, but it's basically what it is pure in heart means that you have no it has to do with your motives. Do you know what I'm saying? Somebody once told me, this was years ago, I remember at a youth group, an adult came out and said, you know, was explaining the situation, and he said, man, you have no guile in you. In this, you know, and I was like, thank you. And of course, when I left, I looked up what guile meant. And judging by his smile, I think. And it means deceitful cunning. You know what I mean? And I started thinking about that. It's basically you say what you mean and you mean what you say. There's no hidden motives. Like, I'm not saying, oh, you look beautiful today, trying to slam you thinking, I've got her right there. You know what I'm saying? Your heart's pure in it. You know? And I want to tell you guys, if God has got you in a place where you're looking at the motives of your heart, am I really pure? Am I trying to manipulate you, like with my words, or manipulate in actions? You know, God wants us to be pure in our heart and motives. In other words, that they honor Him. Do you know what I'm saying? That's how God wants us to be. And if that's you, can I just tell you, you're going to be misunderstood a lot. I've got so many stories. I could spend the rest of the day on this. We can't for time's sake. Let me think for a second. Oh, yeah. Psalm 24, verse 3-5 says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Or who can stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. And if you have that pure heart, if you're examining your motives when you're doing things, when you're saying things, it says that you'll receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. That's a great promise. But if you're living that life, you're going to be misunderstood a lot. Titus 1:15 says this, to the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled. I can't tell you. I've got so many stories. I can't tell you the number of times I've had conversations with folks, even believers. And I'm saying this one thing, and they're thinking this whole other thing. I remember I've got a million of them. Let me think for a second. I need to write it down because I'm like, oh man, it's kind of sad though. Actually, I've got so many to pick from, but hey, it gives me illustrations. How do I even say this? I remember almost every. I don't say that. Okay, Lord's correcting me. Okay. I remember sitting one time. There was some. I've been in lots of ministries over the years. I remember one time sitting with elders, and they thought it's like every ministry. Anyway, I won't even say that. So they thought I was trying to undermine the head minister in this place and trying to take over and all this stuff. And so they were asking, "What about this?" And I would explain it. "Well, I think you were trying to do this." Okay, and I would explain that. This is why I did that. "Well, it appears to me, somebody said, and I know this." I'm like, well, this is the reason for that. And I would explain it. And finally, I got to the point, I think you're trying to do this, and we know. And in fact, one of them, I remember, never forget, one of the elders said, "You know what?" He said, "Nothing you can say is going to be able to convince me otherwise." I just remember crying. I thought to myself, I laughed at first, and I cried. I said, "Listen, you guys, I don't think like you." And I didn't mean that as a slam, but they're judging here, with how they think. And if you're impure in heart, people tend to judge you with how they're thinking. If they're thinking it's like, the liar, you're telling the truth, and the liar thinks you're lying because they're a liar. You know what I mean? Oh, you're lying. Oh, you're trying to take over this old ministry. What? No. Listen, if you're pure in heart, you're going to get misjudged. But Jesus loves you, and he's there for you. And he'll take care of you in that situation. You hold true to him, and he'll watch over you. And he will make your righteousness shine like a noonday sun. Maybe not in that moment, or maybe not with those people, but with him. Yes?
I just want to go in, too, with today's society and social media and stuff. We do so many conversations through Facebook or texting and things like that. So it happens more often because we do so much communication through other means than face to face. It just takes out. It's even worse. I mean, it's that bad face to face because misunderstand you. It's just so much more happening now because the way we communicate with each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
Recently, I heard. I wasn't understanding what was going on and why I just spoke a certain way. And somebody informed me that it's called wordage when it's not telling the truth. It's how they're wording things. I'm like, what? Because I'm not used to, what do you mean by wordage? I just say blank what it is, and that's it. And they're like, well, they can manipulate things by certain wordage and how they put it in there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But God wants us to be that pure in heart. Mm-hmm. He really does. That hungering and thirsting for righteousness, that's a good thing. Then we go to pure in heart. I was even thinking about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Give me one second. Last week, I don't know where she is this week, so pray for her. But last week, there was a girl. I watched her walking with a couple of two-year-olds. I don't know if she's here. I'm looking around. But the audience, but she was here the last couple of weeks, and I saw her walking. I thought, oh, that's nice, a mom walking with her kids. That's so nice. They're like 2 or 3 years old. And I thought, oh, how nice is that? And then I saw her here at church. I said, oh, my goodness. I said, did you walk here? She's like, yeah, I walked 2.5 miles just to get to church.
God.
I'm like, oh! Hungry and thirsting for righteousness. There's a 60-year-old guy in his 60s here that was teaching at Bible at the school. He was walking 4 miles. Car broke down. In the heat of the sun to get here because he just wanted to teach the kids the Bible. He's hungry and thirsty at that righteousness to pour in. I picked him up 2.5 miles in the walk to take him here so that he could teach. It's not like, oh, I drive far today. There's a mom that walked 2.5 miles with 3-year-old kids. And I think one of them was blind. Just to get here, to come and be fed the word. Here's a guy in his 60s walking with a backpack 4 miles. How can I just want to pour into the kid. I just hungry. I love that. And the pure in heart, folks, you'll never be the hero of the world if you're pure in heart, but in a sense, you're God's hero.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He wants you, your motives, to be pure before him because he's pure. And he says you can actually even minister to the Lord. Listen to this. You can minister to him by having that purity of heart. It says, Psalm 101:6 says, my eyes will be on the faithful in the land that they may dwell with me. He whose walk is blameless will minister to me. If you're keeping your heart motives pure, you're ministering to God. You're serving him. You're blessing him. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Make sure your heart's pure. There's enough of these little crafty... I don't even be like that. Baker bakers, whatever. If you really want to see God working in and around your life, if you really want to hear his voice clearly, if you really want him to speak through you powerfully, if you really want him to use your life mightily, then you know what? Ask him. Be pure in heart. And if you really want to be blessed, and you really want to see God working like this around you, ask for that. And he'll give it to you. And if you're not there right now, then this is all you need to do. I love this Psalm 51:10. David said it. He said, create in me a pure heart. Maybe that's where you're at right now. Okay, I am one of those, you know, innuendo persons where I'm saying, you know what? Create in me a pure heart, oh God. You know, start it. Create it. Make it in me. He can do it. He's supernatural God. He can take your heart and give you something new. Not only that, and if you're struggling with it, he can renew that spirit within you.
Yes.
And renew a steadfast spirit within you. Renew it, God. Ignite it again. Just like you're jump-starting a car. It works. It just needs a little bit of a jump. Ask God to give you that renewal in your heart. Matthew 5:9 continues, blessed are the peacemakers. I got to hurry up. Oh, Lord. Yes.
I don't think it's really meaning like peacemakers, like between two nations, right?
Right. No. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be sons of God. No, that's a good question. The only kind of peace we're going to have in this world apart from Jesus. Well, you know, if I had to describe peace in this world apart from Jesus, I would describe it something like this. Peace would be a brief, glorious moment in history where people are reloading. That's peace in the world. Okay, they're just getting their ammo ready. Okay, the best way that we can be peacemakers, Elijah, great question, is introduce them to the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ. He is the one that brings us peace. In fact, Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings the good news. The good news of peace and salvation. The news that the God of Israel reigns. Isaiah 52:7. And you know what? I love this thing. I used to have a bumper sticker, had the sweatshirt. No Jesus, no peace. K-N-O Jesus, K-N-O peace. That's the only way you're going to have peace in this world. You know? And there's, you know, Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way we're going to have peace. Peace with God. You know, if you don't know this, if you're not born again, God considers you an enemy. Zoinks.
Well, in our minds.
No.
In our minds.
Once you were alienated from God, and I've got a few more scripture verses I can give you later from God, and we're enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but I can give you more.
But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through the death present to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Peace with God. And then, peace from God. You guys remember this from our study? There's a peace treaty that's been signed, you know, with God. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. And just like the peace treaty had been signed with Japan, some people are fighting. This guy was fighting the sergeant for 30 years on the island of Guam because he didn't know the peace treaty had been signed. Yes?
I was there.
Where are you?
I was living on Guam at the time when that happened.
Wow, no way.
My gas station.
Wow. And you know what? I think that there's a lot of people in this world, either they don't know the peace treaty signed that God's given away to make peace, or they still fight. And then there's finally peace from God, which is Isaiah 26:3. You keep in perfect peace those whose mind is steadfast on you because he trusts in you. And then this one, I was going to get into this, but I'm not going to. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Can I just say one quick thing? I heard John MacArthur and Erwin Lutzer say it this week, and I don't really like Erwin normally. He's a great teacher and all. I just don't get a lot from him. But he said something that was really good, and I'm like, oh, thank you. It's not going to be possible for you to live with peace with everybody. Remember Matthew 18? If there's somebody in sin, you go to them, you bring your brother, you bring another brother, you tell them in the church, and they're unrepentant, well, treat them as an unbeliever. God bless you. Go on your merry way. I'm going to forgive you, but I'm not going to have that intimate fellowship. You may not have peace with everyone, but as far as it depends on you, okay? Matthew 5:10, these last verses, says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we're, these are our last verses, and then we're going to close with a little video and a little time of prayer, but you know, you're going to be persecuted if you're going to be living the right way. And probably in this country, can I say something? A lot more in the future.
Amen.
So you better get used to living righteously now while the things are good, so that you'll be able to stand as things get worse. I saw this little really quickly. This is kind of sad. You know, Christians are the most persecuted group in the world right now? Dude, nobody knows that. Listen to this. I gave you this thing, but each month, I gave you this a couple weeks ago, but each month, for those of you who weren't here, 322 Christians are killed for their faith every month. You never hear of it, do you?
No.
214 churches and Christian properties are destroyed every month. 772 forms of violence, we're not talking about little violence, are committed against Christians. Beatings, abductions, rapes, arrests, forced marriages into sexual slavery. Every single month this happens. In our country right now, you do something like that to the Quran and it's a hate crime. You put the Bible in there and it's art.
Yeah, right.
It's twisted. This is, no kidding now, guys. This is just from, I was going to say this last week. This is from ChristianPost.com. Okay? These are some men, they're Christians that were killed by ISIS. About 30 of them in the picture that they were killed. They're Ethiopian Christians right there. But this was just last week. If you notice the date, I think this works to the date right here. Look at that. What does it say? October 24th, 2016. Okay. This was in Syria. A lady who was there said that they killed 200 families right in front of them.
You have nothing in the media.
Exactly, Daryl.
Yeah.
Exactly. If this happened to any other people group, everybody would be up in arms. But if it happens to Christians, isn't that weird, guys?
No.
Nobody hears about it. Funny, don't you think? Just saying. Not only that, folks. Not only that. And the goal isn't that. The goal isn't to hate ISIS. The goal is to hate the satanic power behind it. Not only that, listen to this. This is a terrible thing, and I know this is, if you don't want your kids to hear, plug their ears. But they took, not only did they take 200 families, kill them, they took these six men, big, strong Christian men, they burned them alive in this huge bakery. And not only that, but they took 250 Christian family kids, four and under, put them in this big, giant dough machine, kneading machine, and killed them like that. You don't hear nothing. They killed all these babies. This is last week. You heard nothing. Here's something that just, November 4th, this was 2 days ago, okay? or maybe three. But ISIS carried out killings of Christians and other religious minorities in the captured cities in Iraq and Syria. And then, I won't even get into it, but in sickening new footage, that they took the children and the elderly and made them kill others in horrific executions. And ISIS leaders are shown crucifying. If you notice this picture date, it's November 2016. Okay, they're crucifying Christian traitors to terrorize the rest. You never hear anything. You know what? It's the way of the world, folks. I'm telling you this so that you pray for your brothers and sisters. Did you have something you wanted to say, Ben?
Yeah.
I know it's hard, but I want you guys to be aware.
I don't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing, but I feel like I shut the devil up last week.
That's always a good thing, I can tell you right now.
I was just taking one of my patients shopping, and she's a Christian lady. I mean, really Christian. And we and her was talking about God, and this lady walked up to us, her and her husband, her boyfriend, or whoever he was, and said, "What's God done good for you today?" And I turned around and looked at him. I said, "I woke up."
Right.
And then I said, "God bless you." And I walked off, and she was like, "Amen." The lady I was with, she was like, "Whoa."
I love it.
Right.
I love it. But this stuff, guys, is happening all the time. Matthew 5, 10, and 12 ends with this. And Jesus is telling you this so that you can prepare your heart. Blessed are you when people insult you. You're blessed. When people persecute you, you're blessed. And falsely say all kind of evil against you because of me, Jesus says. Not because you're acting like a jerk or a self-righteous knucklehead. Because of me or because of righteousness. He says, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Read I don't have time to go over it, Matthew chapter 11, the end verses, the last 10 verses or so. Amazing what you'll see in that. And we'll leave it with these few verses. John 15:18 says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. He said, if you belong to the world would love its own. But because you do not belong to the world, I have chosen you out of the world's going to hate you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. And if they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Everyone who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted in Christ Jesus. I think of this last thing, I think of the apostles after they've been beaten. They left the Sanhedrin in the book of Acts rejoicing because they had been counted worthy to suffer disgrace for the name. And it says day after day in the temple after they were beaten and all that from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? You'd think they would have stopped after that. Just the opposite. We're going to do this. We're just going to close. If you have to leave, you can leave. We're going to do this. I want to show one video. This is from, this is this family. Actually, it was on a cover not too long ago. This wonderful family, I don't know if you can see them. You're going to see, hear from the mom, Hannah Lee. It's a really great family. And they're, I want you to hear this video. And then I'm going to ask Gary after the video to come up. And we're just going to take a few minutes. And we're going to pray for the persecuted church. Again, you have to go, but I would just like you to do it quiet. But I want us to pray. I'm asking you to spend another 5-10 minutes and pray. Afterwards, and then Gary, would you come up and then close us out when you think we're done after the video? Okay. This was an older one, so mine's a little bit older, but I want to show you the video. Go ahead, George.
Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. For Him, our love for the Afghans to serve, and here we are. God, take our lives and make with us whatever you find pleasant and good in your purpose. So it was a normal day for us, and then I just went to the office, and it was teaching that morning. Actually, that was the routine every day. And for the children, if they didn't have a weekend to interact with their friends, they were doing schoolwork. Both of them have got a deep walk with the Lord, and there's this hunger for the Lord that's very precious. And they are growing in their faith day by day. And it's wonderful to be their mom and experience how they are growing and living their lives for the Lord in a place like Afghanistan. Most wonderful thing that parent can do for his child is to bring him up in the Lord's way so that he knows who his Creator is and that he can have a loving relationship with the Lord and live a life for that purpose. I've asked myself many times in the past, Lord, is this really where you want us? Because of all the difficulties, the challenges, we can lose our lives in time for the Lord. When I look at that in the spiritual realm, I know that He will not take us to a place like Afghanistan and just dump us there, and He doesn't have a plan and a purpose for that. So I know 100% that we are in the right place, that we are obedient to the calling. I'll tell my children, John Pierre, today, you will face a very difficult day today, and I'm not going to be there to help you, and Daddy is also not going to be there to help you, but Jesus is going to be there to help you through this, and He will be there. He promised never to leave us, not forsake us. I believe they are in front of the Lord's throne, worshiping and praising Him, glorifying Him. And that they are just waiting for me to finish the race as well.
Someone with a machine gun wanting to
to take us out, Lord. Certainly because of our faith. And so, Father, I ask that you give us a heart for these people, Lord. Your word tells us that we're all one body. And so, if they hurt, we should hurt as well, Lord. So break our hearts. Lord, I ask that you touch each and every one of us here, so that we might share in the suffering of those who have given so much for you, Lord, not being persecuted.
Father, I thank you that we as believers have, and she has such a good confidence that her husband and her children are resting now, Lord, and that they have they have no pain and they don't have any fear, and that they get to be with you in heaven. It's everybody that's, there have been so many testimonies of people that said, I never wanted to go back to earth. It was just perfect, total perfection, and get to see Jesus face to face. But Lord, I feel so sad for these men that are the perpetrators of these killers, and that think that for their God and for their faith they're doing something noble. And I'm concerned about them and their families, Lord, because they don't have that hope. And somebody that has love and peace inside of their heart is not going to go murdering other people. And Lord, I ask that as the church is being persecuted, whether it be here in this country in very small ways or overseas, Lord, in the Middle East or in China or in Asia or in Africa, that you would give us the kind of perspective that you had on the cross, that you didn't feel sorry for yourself, actually. Yes. Even when the women of Jerusalem were crying, you said, don't weep for me, weep for yourselves, because destruction is coming on this city. And then as the Roman soldiers were there, actually piercing your flesh and mocking you, you didn't feel sorry for yourself. You looked at them and you said, Father, forgive them. Don't hold this against them, because they don't realize that this is not the right thing to do. They don't know what they're doing. Especially with Islam, Lord, and Muslims, I understand. They really think in their minds that they're doing the right thing. They think that killing Christians is the right thing. They don't know. They just don't know. They've been so blinded from birth and from childhood in violence and in lust and in murder. Lord, but you, I ask that you would use us as Christians, Lord. That you'd use even our prayers here in America, that we would have mercy on them, because they're not our enemy. These Muslims, they're not really our enemy, Lord. They are caught in bondage and they are blinded, and you love them. You love Afghanis and Iraqis, and you love these men that put these children, Lord, into the dough mixer. You love them. You're broken over the fact that Satan has blinded them. And Lord, I love to hear testimonies of Muslims that give their that meet you, and then they say, I didn't know what I was doing. Lord, I ask that you would reveal yourself again and again to the people that are blind to who you are, Jesus, and that it would be through our lives as Christians that we wouldn't be so afraid to lose our physical bodies, but that we'd realize, man, we're so secure, we're so safe in you, but that we would worry about the people that are on the other side that are going to, man, if those people die, they're going to be in hell forever. There's no escape. There's no back door. So I ask, Lord, that you would kind of change our perspective. It's so natural to feel sorry for ourselves and to just feel sorry for the Christians that are dying. But really, we're very blessed that we have an eternal safety with you, an eternal home that's ready. And they don't. So, Lord, please, even in the church, I see that the trend that people want to hate ISIS, they want to hate Muslims, and it's so of the devil, because then it shuts us off to reaching out to them, and it shuts us off to opening our hearts to even praying and considering the fact that you died for them as much as you died for us, and you don't love white people more than you love bearded men. Lord, you love them. You love these people. You love them, all of them.
They would be ever mindful of what we have. They would not ever take it for granted. Each day that we wake up and we take our breath, Father God, When will we thank the wife who has been here in that second, that moment? Lord, because when I just saw it, so sad. But my sister Christ says we need to pray for the other side. Now I'm like, you know, careless, we need to pray for them also. God, thank you for waiting the moment I just have. So often we don't do that. We pray for the family that was hurt. Instead of the all-time praying, not praying for the other side, because somehow they are taught this. Most of them as children grew up in this. So we pray to Jesus, Lord, just, you know, your will be done. Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, they were praying. Amen.
More of you, Lord God, each one of them. Lord, I pray that you protect them, Lord God, until it's your time to call them home, Lord God. That you would make their righteousness shine like the noonday sun, because it's your righteousness, Lord God. That they would be like a city on a hill, light on a hill, Lord God. And they would just give light to everybody, Lord. And people would see that light and see you in that light and see you as that light, Lord. And want that and want you, Lord, and be saved. We pray for the protection. We pray for the perseverance. We pray for you to minister to them in their suffering, Lord God. We pray that you would be so present as people are being tortured or killed or whatever, that you give them a strength beyond what they knew that they had, Lord. That you give them even a vision or whatever, Lord, that your presence would be so strong right there with them, Lord God, that they would know that you are there, Lord God, and stand firm in their faith. Just ask that you provide for them every way possible. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I pray for them. I pray for them giving me their support of life. I pray for whatever happened to them to make them think that it's all right, whether it was tortured just the way that they were raised. Or I pray that they see that what they're doing is wrong and it's not the right thing. And I pray for your forgiveness for them, Lord. Let's hope that they know that you forgive them for what they're doing. And
Lord, I pray that you help us, Lord, to truly have humble hearts, to truly understand, Lord, these parents, they are from birth, Lord, they're programmed to hate Christians, hate anyone that doesn't believe the way they do. Lord, help us not to forget, Lord, we've all had our hand in crucifying you, Lord. And help us not to think that we're better than they are or anyone else, Lord. Help us to keep them lifted up in prayer, Lord, because they are so deceived and thinking they're dying and killing for you, Lord. I pray, Lord, as I've just heard on something, that some of these people who are terrorists are coming forward, Lord, saying that they're seeing visions of you, Lord, and having dreams of you. Lord, I believe you're reaching out to these people, Lord, and showing yourself to them. I just pray, Lord, that you humble them, help them to bend the knee to you, Father, no matter what, Lord, may they happen to them. And we just pray that you protect them, Lord. Help us keep them lifted up to you. In Jesus' name.
Father, we know that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. As you visit these people in their dreams, they have to come and talk to somebody about who they are seeing in these dreams. And they are going to see the fruit of your spirit in us as believers and come and ask us what makes you different. And that is the love of Jesus Christ, the joy of Jesus Christ, the peace of Jesus Christ in our lives. And they say, how can you act this way in the midst of all this turmoil? It's because we have our eternity settled forever. And that's what they're looking for, and they don't even know it. Father, each one of us, starting with me, may I display, you display through me, your fruit that is attractive to others, so that they will come and say what makes you different, and then you will minister to them through me. May I be willing, obedient, and available. Not for me, but for them. And I thank you that you shed your blood for me. And I thank you that you called me first before I called on you. Anyone here that has not called upon the Lord to be saved, may they do so. So that your Holy Spirit will be alive in them. Because that's what you do. You come and take up residence in our hearts. You are no longer far away, but you are eternal and internal. And you will never leave. Lead those dependent lives. Totally dependent on you and not on anyone or anything else. May we trust. Realizing that when you say trust, you mean bound together with a twisting that can never be separated. Never. Thank you, Jesus. You are eternal and ever present and available for all.
Father, I just want to ask you just basically for forgiveness, Father. I mean, just put myself in front of you, Father. I am one that looked upon all the Muslims and the ISIS and things that are happening, Father God, as our enemy. And I just want to thank my sister Natalie for her prayers, Father, to kind of shed some light on a, for me anyways, in a different viewpoint of them not knowing, Father God, that I need to reevaluate myself and the way I view the situation and their perspective. So I just ask you, Lord, to forgive me for those attitudes and feelings, Lord, and just continue to have others minister to my heart regarding this issue to keep me steered right, Father God.
Father, and I lift up the surviving families and friends of these persecutions, Lord, that their faith is strengthened, that they are not filled with fear, that they continue to shine a light for you. I pray, Lord, as the persecuted church around the world seeks refuge elsewhere, Lord, that some do stay behind, Lord, and continue your work, that they boldly, even knowing the risks, that they boldly proclaim your name and continue to share the gospel. Not them only, but also us. And anyone, Lord, that may have maybe a little tug in their heart that they should be, that they're being called to go out there, Lord. I pray that you clearly give them the signs that they are we're waiting for from you, Lord, that you make the path straight so that they get to where you are calling them to be. In other words, are fruitful.
I'd ask that everyone would see Jesus. Of course, that those who are facing persecution would see Jesus standing beside them, never leaving them, never abandoning them, no matter what they face, Lord, whether it be bullets, fire, whatever the persecution might be. That, Lord, those who are doing the persecuting, Lord, that they might see you too. It was just said here that they might see the truth. The truth might set them free from the bondage of what they don't know or what they think they know that's not true. Lord, I pray that those of us here who are facing persecution, that we would see you, Lord, so that we are prepared for the persecutions that we may face in the future. Some persecutions aren't in the face of bullets or terrorists, Lord. Because it's not a fleshly battle, but a spiritual battle, Lord. So help us be prepared for those maybe minor persecutions, maybe big persecutions in our life, Lord. Let us all see Jesus. And in seeing Jesus, let us see the love of the Father. Let us be drawn to it. Let us share it. Let us be moved by it. Let us be changed by it. And we thank you for who you are, Lord Jesus. We thank you that we have been called according to your name. If that brings troubles and persecutions, we thank you that we are called worthy of that. Yes. And we thank you for all this in the name of our magnificent Savior, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.